guys, welcome to another episode of The Lemonade Show. This is Steph I Will, or as you better know me as Stephanie, and I'm here with another episode after 2 weeks, and I gotta say, I think I really like this, you know, bi-weekly thing, because I have got a lot of stuff to talk about, because a lot of stuff has happened. So, you know, I'm just gonna jump right into it. So, the Women's March happened last weekend, and while it was very exciting to see everyone get together, I actually contemplated going myself. I just ended up not going. I felt away, right? Because, I mean, I'm not trying to be petty or anything like that. I just felt away because it's just like, you know, we're here because, you know, 53% of y'all that are probably here marching voted for him. So that just made me feel away. And then also just the whole history of white feminism. And I know that there were Black women and other women of color that were there and present, and my hat is off to them. And a lot of them gave some great speeches, and also just some to point out some things and made sure to, you know, not forget who they are as women of color, unlike how some white feminists want you to do, to forget about who you are as a person. And we're actually going to talk, going to talk about that later on, because there was a situation that happened with Jessica Williams. So yeah, so while I was here for the Women's March, I'm just being really real with y'all. Like, I just still felt a way, and that's why I really couldn't get behind it 110%. But no, it was beautiful to see everyone get together and stand up against some bullshit, which is this administration. But there was also a tweet thread from a Native American woman. I cannot think of her Twitter handle right now, but she just spoke of her experience while she was at the march. And just reading that entire thread just actually made me tear up a little bit, because, you know, there were white women coming up to them and saying, oh, we're Indian for the day. And just know, like, you all right now are marching through lands that you stole from my people. So, yeah, that was pretty much the sentiments of the author of that thread. And just what she and the other woman that she was with had to put up with was just unnecessary, and just something that happens every single day. And another reason why, you know, there are some things that really need to be looked at. And I hope folks that say that they're there, they want to be allies, are really looking in the mirror, looking at themselves and saying, am I really being a good ally? Am I being a great ally? Am I really hearing what other women that have different life experiences from me, you know, am I really hearing them? Or am I just asking them to forget who they are for this quote unquote greater good, which is just asinine, because as a woman of color, and talking for myself as a Black woman, that is just something that you can't just cut out. It's just who you are as a woman of color shapes who you are as a woman. So to ask me to forget one part and only focus on the other is just, not only is it impossible, but it's just really an asshat thing of you to do. So yeah, that's that. Actually, a story. About 2-3 weeks ago, I was at work and I went to the vending machine, which I probably had no business going because I wanted some smart food popcorn. So I went to the vending machine, and there was an older white couple that was, they looked very lost. Now, where I was in the hospital was somewhere where patients normally never are. And that's how lost they were. They were in this part of the hospital. So I see that they're visibly lost and looking a little distraught. So I go to help them, and I'm trying to explain to the older gentleman, hey, sir, you're on the first floor. You need to get to the ground floor in order to exit this building to go wherever you're parked. And he was just being really kind of like belligerent, but I just tried to chalk that up to the fact that, you know, they're in the hospital. Who knows where they just came from, what's going on, but let me help y'all get out of here. So after giving me much attitude, and to the point where I was just like, you know what, I really don't have to sit up here and help you all. But I finally got them on the elevator, and then as the doors were closing, he was like, yeah, confused colors. And then proceeded to talk to his wife as the doors closed. Now, it didn't dawn on me that he called me a confused colored until I was maybe 5 or 6 feet away from the elevator. So it just did, he said it just rolled off his tongue so casually and as though he says it all the time. And I'm pretty sure that he does. And I'm surprised it wasn't called worse. But, you know, just thinking of incidents like that, and just people already felt comfortable before Trump was in office. I'm pretty sure they feel way more confident now that he is in office. But see, in situations like that, how can you forget? How can you tell me to forget who I am as a Black woman when I have to deal with bullshit like that? So, yes. No, if you are for the rights of all, as far as being a feminist, then that should include all women. And I mean, I'm all women, transgender, queer, all of us. So if that's something that you subscribe to and it's got some type of, you know, clause that you have to forget the part, the extra part, or not even the extra part, but the part of you that makes, you're asking somebody to forget the part of them that makes them who they are, then you can go fuck yourself. All right. And I feel like I'm hitting y'all with a lot of bad stuff fresh off the bat, but I got to get this off my chest. Chrisette Michele just made a whole ass fool of herself performing at the inauguration. I mean, sis, if you needed money, then you should have just said that. And also, you should leave Adobe Digital alone, because whatever that was, that letter or open letter that you wrote quoting Miss, why are y'all quoting MLK for bullshit? Like, I do not get that. Like, that was the whitest thing you could have done. And then on top of that, Trump didn't even shake your hand, did he? No, because he does not give a damn about you. And also, nobody asked you to go bridge any gaps or build a bridge over racism or whatever it is that you called yourself doing. Nobody asked you to do that. Sis, if you needed money, she just said, I needed money. And then eventually we would have, you know, Black people of all people understand what it means to be, you know, to need some money to pay some bills. So I, you know, more power to you. Maybe you and Omarosa can go and share and talk about your families disowning you over some Cheetos. Like, I really don't know at this point, but may the Lord be with you. Okay. Much better news. Serena won her 23rd Grand Slam, which is pretty dope. And she's the GOAT, the greatest of all time. And no, I'm not saying the greatest of all tennis. No, I said the greatest of all time. The greatest of all time, period. Serena Williams. I mean, the only person that's beating Serena is Serena. And that's on her worst day. So, yes, the greatest of all time. Insert Nene Leakes GIF. I said what I said. All right, I think that's it for hitting y'all with a bunch of the sour, I hope. But I'm pretty sure there'll be more in the comic sections. Alien Defiance is good as hell. And I'm very, very late to this train. And I hate that I am. I do recall someone mentioning this on Twitter that it was a really good series. And so I do remember someone saying that, and that person was Robert Young, and I should have paid more attention to that tweet and also should have paid more attention to the series. But Zolo Hendricks has me wishing that Sanaa Lathan would have gotten a chance to be the franchise, the face of the franchise for Alien versus Predators, if they would have really done something with that franchise, or really just wanting to see a Black woman, you know, on her Ripley shit, basically. So, yeah, if you haven't already, I really suggest that you pick up Alien Defiance. It's about 8 issues in. I binged it the other day, and I can't put it down. Like, I just, the sci-fi enthusiast in me and the person who loves aliens just really appreciates this. And Dark Horse has some heat. Yeah, I need to get much better about recommending titles from Dark Horse. But yeah, Dark Horse has, they have some heat. And so I'm not gonna like go too deep on this because I need to save it for a Misty Nice Afro podcast, but Marvel and Black hair, it's like oil and water. It'll never mix until they, you know, get the right cooks in the kitchen to get that together. So in the latest issue of Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaurs issue 15 that just came out on last Wednesday, which would be January 25th, there is a panel where Lunella is sitting with her mom. Her mom is doing her hair. And just to rough phrase this, basically her mom is like, you know, you're out here looking bad. Let me make you look more respectable. No. Now, ever and ever should the words respectable be used in reference to hair, period, but especially Black hair, because, you know, we know the history on this, right? And of course, Sheer for Hire, or aka Sister Geek, is the person who brought this to my attention, because she had tweeted about it the night of the 25th, I believe, or Thursday, which was the 26th. And I saw the panel and I was like, oh, they really did this again, because recently, while researching Monica Rambeau, I was reminded of when Al Ewing did this in the Marvel Mighty Avengers series that he had in 2013, where there is a panel, I believe, I don't even know what issue. I think this is issue 6 or 7. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's definitely in this series. But where Monica Rambeau is in the park with She-Hulk and the other guy whose name is escaping me right now. But a woman comes up to her and says, like, you know, because of you, I got my daughter to relax her hair because I told her she can't be out here looking all crazy, basically. And I just like, and I think the word respectable wasn't necessarily used, but it was still in that same context, in that same vein. So it was still problematic as fuck. And Al Ewing definitely recognized his misstep and his mistake in doing so and apologized for it. And I do like Al Ewing as a writer, and I haven't had any problem with him since then, I don't think. No, because I haven't read anything in the Ultimates that made me say, what are you doing? And what I remember from the Captain America and Mighty Avengers series, I don't think there was too much of anything in there that made me say, okay, you really didn't learn your lesson. So, yeah. So, I mean, like, this is nothing new to them. Like, Marvel and Black hair, and even DC too, it's just, y'all need to get that figured out. Okay, so something else that also bothered me was both the writer, Amy Reeder, and also Brandon Montclair, through the artist, who is Natasha Bustos, under the bus. Like, you know, she looked at this too. And I'm just like, okay, but this still made it to print. And I really don't know how you all didn't understand how this was problematic, because did we not just have, I mean, as of recently, did we not just have the whole thing of Gabby Douglas and her hair, respectability, and all of that? Like, that was national news. So it's not like something that you could have missed, even if your head was in the sand. And also, if your hand was in the sand, Google is free. Like, it is free 99. And if you type in Black hair and respectability, or just Black hair and whatever, like, something is going to pop up to give you some kind of idea as to why this is a problem. So I just need y'all to do better. But I know you won't do better, because you don't care. You don't. Because if you did, then this wouldn't continually be a thing. And it has been. This happened to Al Ewing, and now it's happened again. So I, you know, whatever. Y'all gonna do what y'all gonna do. So it's just, right now, it is what it is. But if you're going to continue to do what you're going to do, then people are going to continue to say stuff. So, I mean, and also maybe just not buy your book. So that's something also to think about, because unfortunately, people sometimes don't hear you until their pockets start hurting. So The Crew is going to be an ongoing series spinoff from Black Panther. So it'll feature Misty Knight, Luke Cage, Storm, of course, Black Panther. Yeah, so it's not involving the original crew members. I'm interested in the series just because we'll get more Misty Knight and more Storm, and hopefully more interactions between the both of them, because I don't think that there is much interaction between two Black women superheroines in the Marvelverse like that. No. Like, I'm pretty sure there has been some interactions, but not with two of them on the same team, from my recollection. And I could be wrong. And if I am, forgive me, but from my recollection, I can't think of anything, and I definitely can't think of anything off the top of my head. So even that's a problem, right? Because I should be able to be like, oh no, such and such and such work together and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, no, not even in Fearless Defenders, I don't think, two Black women. No, Storm wasn't Fearless Defenders. So let me take that back. But I'm really not recalling much of an interaction between her and Misty Knight, not maybe to the degree that we're going to get in this The Crew book. So I'm interested, and I'm going to check it out, at least the first few issues or whatever, and just see what's going on. Oh, I have a nice little story to share with you guys. So I found a comic shop, and that's been something I've been struggling with over the last couple of years since moving to Charlotte, trying to find one. And the ones that I've gone to, like, I just don't really feel welcome. And in the past and currently, like, getting followed in the comic shop or someone just assuming that I'm looking for something in particular because I'm a woman. I'm a Black woman. So that's annoying. And just feeling out of place, right? And just unwelcomed. And yeah, but this changed when I went to the place is called Second and Charles. Now, I had been in there before. They it's like a resale shop or whatever, but they have an entire comic section of older comics, which I just thought it was just older comics. I went in there looking for some older Justice League of America books, and it did not dawn on me that they had current issues as well there. So I got into a conversation with one of the employees, which was a Black guy, which was nice. And I was just telling him about what I was looking for. And I was talking to him about Misty Knight's Uninformed Afro, which was really cool. And somehow we got on the subject of the Riri Williams cover. And I mentioned, like, yeah, I tweeted something. I tweeted about that. And then that whole thing happened. The cover got pulled. So he was like, yeah, I saw that. And he was like, yeah, it looked, that cover looked like crazy as hell. And we were just talking about that. It was just a nice conversation. Let me just put it that way. And then he was just like, so have you picked up, you know, the Vixen Rebirth? And I was like, no, I have it digitally, but I have not picked it up, the physical copy. So he went and got that for me. And it was just like, oh, so y'all do have current stuff here. He was like, yeah. He was like, I know, don't feel, you know, any way about that. Because a lot of people assume that we don't because we, you know, we resell a lot of things. But no, we have current stuff as well. He was like, we even have a pull list. So, of course, I lit up like a Christmas tree. And as I was checking out, because I bought some stuff, I went ahead and filled out my pull list. And there were two women working up in the front. So I was chatting with them. And it was just an overall fantastic experience. I've been back like 3 or 4 times since then just to kind of shoot the breeze, but it feels good to find your own comic shop and one where you feel welcome and one where they make people feel welcome there. So that was nice and a bright spot to my week a couple weeks ago when that happened. So yeah, if you haven't found a comic book shop yet, I feel your pain. I know what that's like. I would say keep hope alive, but I know sometimes it can be kind of bleak, you know, finding somewhere where you find, where you feel welcome. So if you're out there struggling, I am with you in prayer. All right. We are going to take a quick break, or I'm going to take a quick break, do a little self-promotion. So I'll be back right after this.
Welcome to our new podcast, Misty Knight's Uninformed Afro. The new podcast series will dive into the origin stories, character development, and story arcs of our favorite Black superheroines and characters in comics. These are the obscure stories you don't always hear about, and we share commentary on some of our favorite moments in comics. We're going into deep discussions about Storm, Misty Knight, Monica Rambeau, Vixen, Amanda Waller, Riri Williams, Lunella Lafayette, and the Dora Milaje. The series has two hosts, founder and managing editor of BlackGirlNerds.com and host of the BGM podcast, yours truly, Jamie Broadnax. And Stephanie Williams, host of The Lemonade Show. Each episode will reference comic book issues, dates, and creators. That way, you can go back and check out the stories for yourself. By the end of the series, you will become a certified expert in the fictional world of Black superheroines. Please subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes. We'd love to hear what you think about the show. See you soon.
Okay, I am back and we're going to get into movies and shows. So the Logan trailer dropped, I think a couple of weeks ago, and it actually looks good. Like, I mean, I know like before Fox trailers have looked good and they trick you when you sit down, but this one actually legit looks and feels good too. They definitely focus more on X-23 in this, which if you don't know is Wolverine's clone and she's a little girl. It looks good. Like I am invested. I'm ready for March. I believe it's 3rd when this comes out. So I'll be there and I'm hoping for the best because like I'm never rooting for a comic movie to be bad. Like I'm not, because you know, these are characters that I enjoy too. So I would like them to do well on screen. So we'll see. The Power Rangers trailer also looks pretty interesting. I guess I'm ready to see it, even though Alpha 5 looks like one of those, y'all remember Jamsters? That website or whatever where you could download ringtones and had that crazy looking frog with a hat on kind of bouncing around. Like that's what Alpha looks like. It looks like it's something that would have been on that Jamsters commercial. So I am not feeling that. I hope that doesn't take away from my experience when seeing that movie, but it's a no. Like I don't know what you all were thinking. Like somebody made that on acid. The Oscars. Oscar noms came out, and that was this past week. So Moonlight received 8 Oscar noms, which is really amazing and very well deserving. Both Octavia Spencer and Viola Davis, and also Naomi Harris are up for Best Supporting Actress, and Ruth Negga is up for Best Actress. And if you haven't seen Loving yet, it actually is a beautiful film and one that I say, hey, you should go ahead and check out. Let us see what else. Denzel and Marshalla Ali are both up for Oscars, and also Dave Patel for Lion. So yes, this is all just fantastic. Hidden Figures and Fences, and also of course Moonlight, are up for Best Picture, which is beautiful. I'll be happy if either one of those win, but I'll be especially happy if Moonlight wins. I really loved Hidden Figures, of course, and also think in Fences, but I don't know, something about Moonlight winning would just, for me personally, like would, I don't know, would mean more. And that's crazy saying that because you would think that Hidden Figures winning would mean more for me personally, but no, Moonlight was just such a phenomenal film and I just feel like a lot will be said if it wins Best Picture. So I'm rooting for all three, but I'm definitely rooting for Moonlight. Taraji P. Henson totally got snubbed. Her performance in Hidden Figures was phenomenal, and I'm not just saying that because I like Taraji P. Henson. I'm also not just saying that because I like Hidden Figures. Like no, it was legit very wonderful. And someone wrote an article about Amy Adams getting, I guess, quote unquote, snubbed because she didn't get an Oscar nom for Arrival. While I did really enjoy the Arrival movie and also Amy Adams, I personally don't think that she was more deserving than Taraji to get a nom for her performance. So I'm just like, y'all, like, she'll get more. Like, she already has 5. She'll get more. Like, that's never a problem for white actresses. Like she'll get something. I mean, look at Meryl Streep. And she didn't get an Oscar nom like every year. So Amy Adams will be all right. She'll have more opportunities for Oscar noms. Trust me. Only way she won't is if, you know, the world's not spinning anymore. So she'll be all right. All right. So please save your Oscars not so white hot takes. Just leave them in the oven forever. Don't take them out. Just don't. Cause no, like nothing. It's amazing what people want you to say, oh, that's been fixed within a year. Like, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't. So just please save those Oscars not so white hot takes. Just leave them in the oven. In fact, don't even begin mixing the ingredients to even put in the oven. Like, literally just get out of the kitchen. Stay away. Do not go. And, David Ayers wished that he would have made the Joker the main villain, and I'm just wishing he could have not made Killer Croc out there looking like a velour cat stereotype, because I want BET, like, are y'all kidding me? No, I have not gotten over that, because that shit was ridiculous. Also, if the Joker would have been the main villain, that just would have been like 30 more minutes on the extended cut, because they would have cut more stuff out, and it's just a no. Like, look, Suicide Squad was... it was and yeah, I don't want to drag it, but just after going back and reading the John Ostrander run of Suicide Squad from the 80s into the early 90s, I just don't see how we got what we got on the screen. And I've read the more newer issues, but there was some really good stuff that was written then. And I'm not saying that Ayers didn't read that, but all I'm saying is I couldn't tell. So the making the Joker the main villain, I guess, but I really don't know how that would have helped anything. If anything, it would have gave you more ideas for music to throw into the movie. So I guess the movie would have been more music, basically, because I don't know what else you would have done with that. So, okay. DC, more DC news. DC is splitting up Shazam into two parts because money, and also I guess they know that The Rock sells seats. So, I mean, that's all. More power to them. And then I saw something limp down my timeline about X-Men series and Bryan Singer, and it's just a no. Like, if Singer finally decides to actually pick up X-Men comic and read it, it's still a no, but it's like, it's not a harsh no. It's a no at least with a period at the end and not just a no without any type of, no, I take that back. It's a no without a period, but right now it's a no with a period because we have nothing else to talk about. But if he picks up an X-Men comic and actually reads it, then it's a no without a period. And then we can, you know, get to work in and add more words after that, but no. You good. Like, just go do something else. Black Panther finally started filming in Atlanta, which is pretty cool and pretty dope. So I'm, of course, ready for that. And I'm pretty sure you all are because it's Black Panther and his cast is like black as hell. And it's black as hell behind the screen. So I trust Ryan Coogler. I don't have no open letters for him or anything like that because I trust that he will handle Black Panther in a way that makes us all smile. So I'm going to let him cook and I'm going to see what happens. But so far, like, I just feel really great about Black Panther and I cannot wait to see it. To go back to what I talked about when the show first opened in White Feminism 101, what I need folks to do is to stop telling Black women to see themselves other than Black women, like to forget the Black part and just be a woman. Because how would you even do that? So what happened to Jessica Williams at the Sundance Women's Filmmaker event is just some flat out BS. It's once again why I felt the way I did about the Women's March and just white feminism in general. And to have Selma Hayek, who, ma'am, you should know better, to fall right in line with what Shirley MacLaine had asked Jessica to do, to silence that part of who she is even more frustrating. Because why? Why would you do that? Why would you ask somebody to forget who they are? Because essentially that is what you are asking a Black woman and just a woman of color in general when you say, well, if when you're not a Black woman, you're just a woman. No, I'm never not a Black woman. Like, asking me to do that, to forget who I am as a Black woman, like, I'm never not just a woman, right? I'm always a Black woman, especially living in a society that continually focuses and scrutinizes that. Did we not just have this talk about hair? Like, did I not just bring that up? So how could you ask me to forget who I am? How could you ask Jessica to forget who she is? Who she is as a Black woman and her experience is what she brings to the table. And to ask somebody to forget an essential part of them who has shaped and molded them to the person that they are is just asinine. And that's not any kind of sisterhood I want to be a part of, because my sister would not ask me to forget who I am for the greater good. Like, are you even kidding me right now? Like, who the fuck are y'all? And I wish more Black women were there to back Jessica up and to stand, because that was just pretty much bullying what that was. That was bullying masked as some wonderful come together event. And it was not. It wasn't. It was ugly. And if you haven't, I do suggest that you go back and you read what happened, the whole exchange, because it's like we're not even hearing it. Like, we're just reading it and it still made me cringe. So I'll post a link on the Lemonade Twitter page, but just disgusting. Just disgusting. Like, what and why is all I have to say. And it just makes me even more frustrated, because it's just like we're continually asked to set our blackness to the side. And I just don't see how you can ask somebody to do that. I don't. It makes us who we are. I can't be anything but a black woman. I can't. So fuck you if you subscribe to that and you believe that, you know, women of color have to forget the color part in order to subscribe to your ideals and to get this movement working. No, it's a hearty hell no before I rant on about that. But that's just some sick shit. Like, y'all are tripping for real. Okay. I would like to close up with a quick Resident Evil review. There might be some spoilers, so if you haven't watched Resident Evil, the final chapter yet, then you can go ahead and stop the podcast here, and I will catch you 2 weeks from now. But yes, yeah, so Resident Evil, final chapter was horrendous, as I knew that it would. Like, my expectations were super low, but what I do appreciate about the Resident Evil franchise is that a woman is the face of the franchise. And I love Mila Jovovich. I really do. And she is kick-ass, and she was kick-ass in this movie, although it was just all over the place and kind of disjointed and really cheesy. But overall, like, I mean, considering what it is and what I thought it was going to be, even though it was horrendous, I still enjoyed it. And to answer your question, no, it is not the, I mean, they say it's the final chapter, but they definitely didn't close the book on the franchise. They definitely left it open for if somebody figures that they need some more money, like, they definitely could go back and reboot this or make another sequel, or, you know, do whatever they're going to do, because they definitely didn't close it. So maybe that wasn't too much of a spoiler. There definitely was a plot twist, or like a cute little plot twist that they did, one that was kind of predictable, or very predictable. If you're really paying attention, it was very predictable. So, I mean, if Resident Evil is your thing, go ahead and see it. But like, matinee prices do not pay full price. But it is what it is. And yes, I do stand for Resident Evil, and I do not like Transformers, because the stars of Transformers is pretty much explosions. So there's the difference in that. So, I mean, we all have our vices, right? We all have movie franchises that we enjoy that are just really, quality-wise, are pretty trash. But hey, it is what it is. So if you have not seen Resident Evil and you just want to kind of get away and just watch something that is action packed or whatever, then by all means, go see Resident Evil. So lastly, I'd like to close up by letting you guys know that I have joined and partnered up with Audio Boom, which is pretty cool. And hopefully this means more listeners and all of that. So I'm really excited about that. So you can subscribe and follow the Lemonade podcast at Audio Boom. The link is in the bio on both my personal page at Steph_I_Will, and also on the Lemonade podcast page, which is at Lemonade Show. It's in the bio part. That's where you can find the link. So please subscribe, all of that jazz. I really appreciate it. Still on SoundCloud, so if you're not already, please follow the Lemonade Show there. And just thank you guys. I think that's it. Like, if you're listening to this the day that it comes out, and maybe within 48 hour range, you have not heard Misty Knight's Uninformed Afro yet, but that will be out. And I really do hope that you all enjoy it, because I've had the time of my life pretty much doing this podcast with Jamie, all the research that has gone into it. So I'm really looking forward to hear what you guys have to say. And that's it. So this has been Steph I Will, and I'm gonna catch you guys later on. Thanks for joining me. Peace out.